Your Bibles, please, to the fifth chapter of Hosea for our second reading. Hosea chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Aven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be to Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. And I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we continue on in the second portion of the book of Hosea. Remember, 1 through 3 is the first portion, and then 4 through 14 the second portion. 1 through 3, the training of the prophet. 4 through 14, the teaching of the prophet as he turns his attention to the nation. And so we have then, notice what comes under his purview first. The Lord once again through the prophet turns his address towards specific people among the northern kingdom and also among the southern. The priests and the house, or the administration of the king, considering the king himself and his administrators. It is important that we remember that kings and priests, literally in the Old Testament, or figuratively, perhaps is a better word, in the Old Testament, speaking of authorities in the church and in the state, that they do not rule by fiat. They do not rule upon their own counsels. They rule according to the commands and counsels of God, as our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords and the great high priest and apostle of our profession and the chief shepherd. And so all in authority will give account to him. And so he calls those rulers in the civil realm and those rulers in the ecclesiastical realm in Hosea's day to account, especially regarding the northern kingdom, but not only in the northern kingdom. So what have they done? Well, first of all, he says that judgment is toward you. The Lord draws them into judgment. He says, you have been a snare on Mizpah and a net on Tabor. And one of the things that we like to do in passages such as this is open up those figures to show what they mean. Notice here that Mizpah and Tabor are two mountains in the northern kingdom. And because they were mountainous in the northern kingdom, a little bit more remote, they were places men went to hunt. They were places where game was abundant. And so in being the hunting lands of the northern kingdom, the Lord tells the rulers and the priests that you've been like those who set a snare and a trap on Tabor and Mizpah. You have hunted not game, not animals, but you have hunted men's souls. Instead of nourishing, instead of feeding, instead of taking care, you have hunted them and you've caused them to fall. You've misused your office such that you have been not a positive, but you have been a detriment. You've worked against the health of the ones that God has given you in charge. This is a great and fearful thing when the Lord turns to anyone and says, judgment is against you. We ought never to want that to be said about ourselves. Because when we fall under the bullseye of the Lord, remember, there is no escape. There is no escape. So then, the application is unmistakable. The leaders of the people, both ecclesiastical and civil, were laying snares and hunting the people of God and endangering their souls. Remember that they had set up false worship. They had given false teaching and thus had hazarded the souls of those that were in their charge and under their care. This is a warning for all leaders in the church and in the state, that they use not the people of God for advantage, and it is a warning for the people of God as well that they do not fall prey to those even in positions of leadership that would hazard their souls with evil doctrines, aberrant practice, inattention to important things, and attention to party divisions and distinctives rather than to the whole counsel of God. In the next part then of this first section, the Lord takes knowledge of Ephraim and Israel. He knows the estate of his people, he says, and he knows how far they have fallen from his commands. Do we understand this for ourselves is a question that lies there on the text to be asked. Remember the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, telling us what? That everything is naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We are able to deceive ourselves, but we're not able to deceive him. And so the Lord says, I know Ephraim. I know Israel. And by that knowledge, what he means in this context is, I know their sins. I know how far they have fallen from my commandments. Notice also that the Lord has rebuked, but men have not listened. Oh, this is a heavy charge. The Lord has rebuked, and we have not listened. How many sermons have we heard through the course of our lives? How many times have we read the scriptures through? How many times have we read those passages and remembered what we had formerly forgotten or through sloth and inattention put to the side? The Lord has rebuked and folks have not heard. So then we have ways, don't we, to set aside, to deflect, to make oblique the warning voice of the Lord. If it comes immediately, we dismiss the messenger and the message with him. If it comes by the way of smiting of conscience immediately through the work of God's Spirit, we are often all too well practiced in putting down those cries of conscience until the conscience cries no more. The Lord has rebuked and men have not heard. And notice, they will not hear because of the spirit of whoredom that is in them. This speaks of patterning and running in certain ways. It speaks of habits, things that become so habitual as to render us dependent upon them. Habits, comforts, patterns, if the wrong ones, can make it all the more difficult to follow the Lord. So the pride of Israel testifies, then, is the next phrase the Lord uses. It is the pride of Israel that testifies rather than the humility that testifies. And so, once again, this is a call for us to examine ourselves. And what is testifying for us today? Is it our pride or is it our humility? Is it sometimes our pride and sometimes our humility? And we must then redouble our efforts in prayer that the Lord would cause our humility to testify instead of our pride. And finally, the Lord says here, He will now withdraw His comfortable presence from them, and they will be left to their deeds. As Hosea's wife bore strange children, so now will the Lord treat with those children of whoredom, those who have gone after other gods, with the judgment that their sins have brought. Then the Lord says it'll be a month. A month. Why a month? Well, that's a prophetic number. It's a prophetic term, which means fixed and soon. Fixed and soon. A month is a definite period of time. And so the Lord is telling the northern kingdom at this point that there is a fixed period of time until you will no longer experience my mercy. I will put an end to that. And then he says that it will be soon. And if we remember, Hosea prophesied when? Well, about a 30-year or 25-year period between 750 and 725 or 724 B.C. And in 722 B.C., here comes Sennacherib and Samaria falls. Remember? Very soon. All right, well then what do we do when judgment is coming? What do we do when there is danger on the outskirts? We blow the cornet. We blow the trumpet. We cry aloud. And this is what the Lord is calling those ministers, those magistrates to do, instead of what they had been doing, leading them falsely. He calls upon them to lead rightly. He calls upon them to blow the trumpet, to blow the cornet, and to lift up the voice, and to lift them up where? In Ramah, in Gibeah, and in Beth Aven. And we know what was going on there. The false worship was going on there. The calves, the twin calves that Jeroboam had set up in Beth Aven, in the house of vanity. That's what Beth Aven means, the house of vanity. And in Gibeah and in Ramah, where that other calf resided from time to time. In those places of false worship, the Lord calls upon His ministers and upon His magistrates in that day to cry out, to lift up the trumpet, to give the warning, to say what? Stop worshiping God falsely. Stop disobeying Him instead of setting up and facilitating those places of false worship. All right, so then the Lord is angry. His wrath is stirred up. Do not be silent and cry aloud. And this too is a mercy, right? It is a mercy when we receive those kinds of warnings. Remember that if the Lord has warned, there is always time. There is still time to repent. Although some consider it an irritant, a bother, uncomfortable, and so they run from it, remember that it is a mercy from the Lord to be warned. All right, then also note how wicked it is to remove the bound. How wicked it is to remove the bound. You see that? They have removed the bounds. And this has several implications. First of all, to remove the bound is to confuse the property, right? It is to erode the boundary between the Lord's people and those who are not the Lord's people, first of all, to remove the bound. So we must preach and we must live and we must understand the antithetical relationship between God's people and those who are not His people. Second, it is to take away fences that keep the flock safe. Removing those bounds exposes the flock to danger, to wandering, to loss, to predation, and so on. And third, removing the boundary means removing those standards of behavior, those standards of practice, those bounds of morality that the Lord has given to us. And notice that the leaders in that day removed them all by removing the bounds. We ought to be those that build up those bounds, that build up those fences, that build up those walls of Jerusalem. And finally, the Lord declares that those leaders that take away those bounds are liable to his wrath and to his judgment. And he will be as a moth to bring rottenness, and he will be like a lion to tear. When we think of destruction, we think of the destruction of the moth. And by the moth there, remember that it's not just the flying moth. It's the wormy moth as well that get into the wood and weaken it so that over time it falls apart. And then the lion to tear is, well, that happens. That's destruction also, but it's not over time. It's immediately. And so the Lord says, in the long term and in the short term, I'll be like a moth and a lion, and I will tear down your structures that you have trusted in, that you think keep you safe. And finally, note the goal of the Lord's chastisement. The goal of the Lord's chastisement is what? And I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense, seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. And these are comforting words, aren't they? That in all of the Lord's chastisement, in all of the Lord's judgment, that it rises out of his great and fatherly heart toward his people. And sometimes he brings what we would call dire affliction, great destruction. Why? So that we would seek him early. Thus ends the reading then of Hosea chapter 5. Let's stand and call.